You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, Friday morning, good to be with you. And as we always say, our listening audience out there.
Somewhere in cyberland.
Doody, 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 do. Yeah.
Around the planet Earth and into outer space.
Yeah.
We'll kick off today's show with a listener question. Our friend Willem de Gruyters from the Netherlands. Willem asks, did perhaps the peak momentum indicator give a clear signal with all the euphoria in the AI sector going on?
Yeah. we don't use the peak momentum indicator anymore.
Oh.
It worked for a while, and then it didn't work. So we just don't bother with it, and sorry that it's still out there as a subject, but and I looked up, it related to the gold silver ratio, and I looked it up a little while ago, and I couldn't make anything of it. So peak momentum indicator was a device, a technical device that worked for a while, and it doesn't work anymore.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Our first headline from Zero Hedge. Germany's Council of Economic Experts calls for higher inheritance taxes and bows to the state.
Oh, yeah. The government and its agencies and employees, they're living the good life on hard-working taxpayers' money. And then when there's not enough taxes, they resort to the same old, which is depreciate the currency. And government agencies are not very nice people. And the Council of Economic Experts calls for higher taxes. My gosh. Anyway, signs of the times indeed.
Bob, you know what the Laffer curve is, right?
Yeah.
Now, do politicians know about it, that we actually make more money and the economy booms best when your tax rate is around 22 to 25%? And when you start raising taxes higher than that, it's counterproductive. And after a 45% tax rate, it's disastrous.
Oh, yeah, because capital only will exist in a friendly environment. And if the politicians get unfriendly, the capital goes elsewhere, just like that, you know?
Well, we have another headline here, America's Free Press headline, The New Socialist Revolution. Is that the election of the new mayor of New York who says he says a Democrat socialist, but maybe more communist?
Yeah, no, that's part of that. Yeah. And those who like intrusive government are celebrating it, and this, of course, is American Free Press. I think they used the headline and then wrote the article skeptical of it, yeah.
Now, of course, the U.S. looks at Canada as a socialist country because we have government health care.
Well, it's way beyond that. Canada is damn near Marxist. It's quite Marxist, especially under Prime Minister Carney. He is a control freak. And his big drive is that he thinks he can control the climate. With guys like this, I always say, well, first of all, practice trying to control the weather, and then let me see how you can do with the climate. But no, Carney is a control freak. He was guiding Trudeau through his 9 years of office, and all the crazy things were coming out. Well, they were prompted by Carney, and Carney. Well, one thing I remember when a high delegation from Germany came to meet with Trudeau to get going on building liquid natural gas plants in Canada and exporting product to Europe. And Trudeau said, oh, no, we can't do that because it'll increase the carbon dioxide in the air. And, of course, he was getting his instructions from Carney, and Carney is a dyed-in-the-wool Marxist control freak, and at the moment, the control freaks are using climate to impose control. But, hell, this is going for 30 years now, and it's getting pretty old dog-eared story, and the public is getting on to it, that it is, there really is no climate urgency out there.
Yes, as you pointed out, Bob, the biggest impacts on climate changes in the Earth's orbit, the solar activity, asteroid hits, and volcanoes. Which one of those will government policies change?
Yeah, well, it was the 1920s when Milankovic came up with his theory about the climate was based upon orbital mechanics and really essentially how far away from the sun the Earth is. And it sort of changes you. The seasons change. Anyway, so, yeah, and initially, the Milankovic was controversial, and then other argument was that climate change was random. And then beginning in the 60s, you then had with satellite measurements and then all sorts of other ways of recreating a climate history, a temperature history. And it recurs according to the Milankovitch theories, and the climate is geared to orbital mechanics, and there will be change. They're continuing to change, and we've been out of the last ice age for 10,000-12,000 years now, and who knows? But maybe another one could be down the road a bit, but I think it'll be after we have departed this life. So,
a headline from Zero Hedge: FOMC minutes expose fractured Fed. Many see no tariff inflation. Several fear disorderly drop in stocks.
Yeah, the policymakers are really uptight about Trump and his tariffs. Now, I'm sympathetic to what he is doing, because there was a number of European countries were just getting a free load. How many cars were exported from Germany into the U.S.? How many American cars were sold in Germany? You get the picture. So the tariffs are to kind of stop their free ride. And the other one is that, and this is the one I really like about Trump on this plan, is he wants to reduce the size and cost of government. Next step is to raise sufficient money through tariffs and then get rid of the income tax. And when the income tax was introduced to the Western economies, essentially during World War I, there were writers at the time who said this was immoral, unethical, to take money, whereas traditionally the tax was on things. When you bought something, you paid a tariff on it, which is fine. So Trump, I think he's trying to, number one, reduce the size and cost and influence of government. And the second part is to have the government exist on tariffs, as it used, as governments did for hundreds of years, before they came in with income tax. So I'm all for it. The U.S. gets rid of income tax and the IRS. And I remember there was an article, maybe you saw it as well a few years ago, but the Internal Revenue Agency, the IRS in the United States, had quite an armament. They had machine guns and body armor and all that sort of stuff. Now, why would the tax people be armed? I don't know. Maybe, Jim, you got an idea on that.
Well, everybody's got a gun in the U.S., so why not the tax people?
Yeah, so anyways, Trump is attempting to end income tax and have the government funded through tariffs, which is the way it was done for hundreds and hundreds of years.
In Canada, income tax was introduced in 1917 to help pay for the First World War, and it only applied to the top 5% of earners, and it was called a temporary measure. So so I guess we're still paying for the First World War.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good way of putting it, Jim. Yeah.
Still paying for it. Now, from Zero Hedge, the rap, the big long, the big short, the big fear.
Wasn't that a good one? That is just such a, the big long, the big short, the big fear. Just an absolutely elegant headline. So, yeah, it covers all the excesses from the longs and the shorts.
When you're worried about the stock market going down, is that when averaging works out in your favor? So the stocks go down, but you buy more stock with less money.
Oh, yeah, that's an oldie, but no. This peak in the stock market recently is excessive. And many brokers, they only think long all of the time, and they will tell people, well, 20 years from now it'll be all right. But in between, no, we're suggesting that that investors take a lot of money out of the equity markets. And if you go to certificates of deposit or treasury bills, and treasury bills, they're going to go down to, well, they're 438 or something like that, in the 4% ticket. And if they go down, and they can go down to close to zero again. So if you're in something relating to T-bills, every rollover, you're getting less interest. So our suggestion, and now this is, it was hitherto for fixed income accounts, is if you're in near cash things, your return is going to be declining every year. So anyways, you can buy some 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds. So you'll have a decent coupon, and these will be maturing, say, 3 years hence at par. So you get all your money. And it's a nice, safe place to be for fixed income investors. But now that the stock market has gone so crazy, we're suggesting people take a good portion of their monies out of the stock market, out of equities, and use the 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds. You get a decent return, and as I say, a 3 year bond will mature at par in 3 years' time. So it's a good position.
And our final headline from What's Up With That, doctors dance at COP30 to demand a fossil fuel phase out.
Yeah, they had one of these commitment of a COP number 30 somewhere in the jungles of Brazil, and they had to put long roads and whatnot, and they had, of course, all the proper champagnes and booze, and including hot and cold running women. So, but I didn't put that in the headline. But anyways, they had this confab out in the jungles and built a road and all things. So people come to these COP meetings, as it says, up to number 30, because, well, it's all an expense account, so to speak, and the big life and everything else, and you're an important person to attend these things. But it has all these theories about intruding in the climate. They just don't work. It's a sign of madness to think that you can influence the climate. And as I said a little while ago, let them practice with the weather changing the weather for a little while before they get on to climate. Let's see them prove their skills.
Well, hundreds of private jets flew into that environment conference. Critics of it are saying it has one of the largest carbon footprints ever of the event. They knocked down endangered rainforest for the site. They built a four-lane highway through an area that Aboriginal people wanted protected.
Yeah.
How is this going to help any kind of climate? Because we know, you know, the rainforests of the world, and that includes British Columbia, are like the lungs of the planet.
I'm here to tell you that atmospheric carbon dioxide has nothing to do with weather change, let alone climate change. It is a nonsense that's been pushed to the limit.
Now, one place where they have affected the weather is Tokyo, where they mandated that they had to put gardens on top of all new high-rises, and that has brought their summertime temperature in Tokyo down by 5 degrees so that you can sleep at night. So, trees can affect your local climate. They keep it cooler in the summer and warmer in the winter.
Yeah, that's a practical one, but overall,
yes,
you can take a chart back a few million years of atmospheric CO2 concentrations and the temperature, and there's no correlation on temperature and the atmosphere, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
And I saw a study that found Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines, when it erupted, erased 10 years of carbon credits within a few hours. So, again, if you can control volcanoes, good luck.
Yeah, well, that was 1815, and that was the year in Europe, Northern Europe, and East Coast of the United States, where they didn't have a summer. It just didn't happen. And that was Tambora.
Yeah.
That blew up, and I've got a book on it. And, it was the year with no summer.
Yeah, and when Krakatoa blew up, that caused 3 years of very poor crops as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens is these things can blast a cubic mile of pulverized rock, and plus there's a whole lot of sulfur dioxide in it up into the atmosphere, and as it spreads across, it absorbs heat from the sun, and underneath it all, you're getting cooled off. So, here's a little sketch I do, and that is you can take a desert like the Mojave Desert or North Africa at this time of year, let's say November, and it might get up to 85 degrees Fahrenheit during the day, and then at night it cools off and the radiation loss is such that it goes right down to freezing. So let's say we stay at the same latitude and move over into a tropical rainforest like Brazil, And when the sun goes down, the humidity holds the heat. There's little change in temperature from night to day, whereas in a desert, where you can lose immense heat to radiation lost to the sky, there's a huge change in temperature. So we can go from just, let's just sort of say, 80, 85 degrees during the heat of the day, and then right down to freezing at night. So,
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had a good time today, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.